Folks, welcome on into our Thursday edition of Sports Talk. Oh, what a day, and man, what a night last night with between the NBA and NHL playoff action. But today, Bobby, OTA, first practice that the media got to witness over on the facility on Airline Drive for the Black and Gold. It's a new dawn, new day over there with head coach Kellen Moore and obviously Derek Carr retiring, so there's a whole new QB competition going on. We're going to talk a ton about that. The offensive line, some of the shifting over there. One of the first things that broke today, though, Cajun Cannon, was the fact that Jake Haener ended up suffering an injury at practice the other day and is likely out until training camp, according to reports from ESPN's Adam Schefter. It's an oblique strain and is expected to cost Haener multiple weeks. I'm sure you know plenty about some oblique strains.
No, I never had that.
Huh?
No, I never. I had a tight stomach. I had an 8-pack at one time, Steve.
jacked up your neck, not your oblique.
Shoulder, neck, and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't matter. Jake Haener, come on. I mean, he was just trying to make the team, I think. To me, this is either Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler. And they both threw the ball well today. They were spinning it. And not as much competition as we've seen in past OTAs. What I mean by that, in team, they're running team plays, but it's more like a mental practice where, you know, what they learn in their position groups, like you break off, like, yeah, okay, the running backs are here, the receivers here, and you go over what you would do in plays and all that. And then they want to see if they can transfer that from the classroom to the playing field. And it's not a walkthrough because they've gone at a good pace, but they don't have helmets on.
Right.
The only helmet was one player on defense who has, like, the dot, you know, so Coach Staley could talk to him what defense is they running.
Going on.
To try and get in the right place. I think one time, for instance, how they're learning a new defense, like Cam Jordan, you got to get used to him and Carl Granison. They're standing up. You know, and they were doing the base like 3-4. And then Cam, one time, the coach tells him, Cam, you're supposed to be dropping in coverage. And then he goes, oh, man, like, I forgot, you know, kind of thing. Because, you know, it's a learning process.
Yeah.
And then
a vet like Cam, right?
Yes, and that all of a sudden, because that's a weak link, you're supposed to be in a zone-type coverage, and you're not in the area. You're supposed to be in zone coverage, not, you know, rushing. So I thought that was interesting when you see something like that occur. But 7-on-7, I think it's going to be like that in the OTAs and minicamp. It's going to be the closest things I would say, like competition, when you're seeing, it really is going to be training camp in the preseason games. But the one thing, and people might take this for granted, oh, well, they're all pros. No, like even like the quarterback position, they want to see, okay, how do you spit out like the plays? Like you're in the huddle. Is the coach hollering, oh, get back in the huddle? You know, you couldn't call the whole play. Could be 12, 15 words, whatever. And it's smooth sailing. I'm impressed with Tyler Shuck and Spencer Rattler. They're getting in and out the huddle. They looked organized. So I think it's like baby steps, like I was saying yesterday, what they're doing right now. I thought, he didn't look like he got hurt, or what, he is rehab. Rashid Shaheed.
The need for speed,
yeah,
man.
He could still fly. He'd have probably had, counting that long bomb he caught, he probably would have had 4 or 5 catches for 100 yards today. You know, and this just in practice. And they both threw the ball well. There were, to me, it was 2 plays of the day. Well, like, boy, that was a great throw. That's about as good as it gets against Spencer Rattler. It was a skinny post. What I mean, it's like, you know, you're going vertical. It's not a hard post, but it's right there, like in that seam. Skinny post. Rattler hit Michael Jacobson, who is like the basketball player, the tight end. He's 6'7", like 245. He was what I want to say. He might have been on and off the roster. I know we had him on the practice squad. He's a 1-year veteran out of Iowa State. Ever since Jimmy Graham worked out as a football player, they always going to have these basketball players. And he's not skinny, you know, but, I mean, he's not necessarily that thick, being 6'7", 245. Bobby, he looked smooth catching the ball and getting an opening that seam. That was a great pass by Spencer Rattler. And then Tyler Shuck, a beautiful bomb to Rashid Shaheed, hit him in stride. That would have been a 50-yard gain. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was talking with Jeff Duncan about this. You know what I think is the best thing that ever happened to Tyler Shuck? And if I had a son or an individual that I know had influence on that could play the quarterback position, because I think coaching does matter in how you develop. Like I told you, I went to Northwest and State University in Natchitoches. We were running the Buffalo Bills offense, and my mentor is Joe Ferguson, who played 17 years in the NFL, who was the quarterback before Jim Kelly with the Buffalo Bills. Like A.L. Williams, Woodlawn High School in Shreveport, they were throwing for 250 yards in the mid-70s when people were running the wishbone and everything. So it does matter, right place, right time. So if I had a kid or some influence, this guy could coach. Jeff Brohm.
Right.
The Louisville Cardinal head coach, wherever Jeff Brohm's at, you want to talk about running a pro-style offense, an NFL system.
And his brother's there, too.
Yeah, I think by Jeff Shuck being there, that's why he's ready for the pros. You know, like, oh, it's going to take a while of him to develop. No, I think Tyler Shuck, you know, now the reason why he's a seven-year veteran because he always got hurt, but he had an unbelievable year for Louisville, and I think right place, right time to develop with Jeff Brohm and Brohm. And I thought that went a long way, but like they all contribute. Like Brandon Cooks even caught a pass, Chris Olave like on an out route, but Rashid Shaheed was the one to me, the receiver who really stood out. Like Cedric Wilson Jr., Kevin Austin Jr., all guys that are going to be trying to be that third or fourth wide receiver. You all saw them contributing. Now, but to me, and in my crystal ball, you can remember this date. What's the date today, Steve? May to what?
We are May 22nd.
Okay, May 22nd. How they line up on the offensive line, that's how I think they're going to be for, against the Cardinals.
Save this clip, Cullen.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, save it right now. This is what it's going to be. I'm telling you, they had Penning at left guard instead of tackle. They had Banks, who we just drafted at left tackle. That's what he played at Texas. And they put Fuaga.
Moved him back to right.
Back to right tackle, what he played in college. So I'm telling you, that, and you know, Cesar Ruiz and McCoy, that doesn't change. The right guard and the center. But how I now, they're going to, like, we might go next Thursday and practice and they mix them all back up. And Trevor Penning's back at tackle and all that. But
sure, doing some cross training.
Yes, but I think they have to gel together and come together as a unit. The continuity there, that's what Coach Kellen Moore said. You know, they have to be like a glove. You know, a well-fit glove in hand, how you all help them when I go to different levels, getting to that second level. That I think that's what it might end up being. Penning at left guard, Banks at left tackle, and Fuaga at a right tackle. Now, today Spencer Rattler worked with the ones, but that doesn't mean anything. Watch next Thursday. It's going to be, you're going to have Shuck working with the ones.
Sure.
But that's why Jake Haener, even though he's hurt, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. I think.
Although we'll hear from Kellen Moore next hour in our sound bank, but he did mention that, you know, one of the previous days, Jake Haener did also take first team reps.
Yeah, but they just trying to throw him a bone. No. If Jake Haener's our starting quarterback, then I would definitely take the under.
On our win total?
Yeah, on the win total. Under
5.5?
Yeah, under 5.5, for sure. Now, the guy that might be better, he could spin it. Is I don't even know who this cat is.
Hunter Deckers.
Hunter Deckers. Boy, looks the part. 6'3", 215. He's from Iowa Western. Talk about a direction of school. That's even smaller than Northern Iowa. You know, like 1AA. But you have to look. Okay, where was his background? Well, originally, he was at Iowa State. So, you know, he was a stud. Left-hander. He could spin it. To me, he's better than Jake Haener. I only saw him one practice, throw the ball, and to me, he's better than
he. He definitely stood out to me with the rookie minicamp, like I had mentioned to you.
Well, and he looks the part. Like, Jake Haener looks like a little boy out there. That cat, I don't know what's going to happen, developmental squad, whatever. So, I'm not even concerned with the oblique. I think this is Spencer Rattler or Tyler Shuck. Now, let him compete, see who's going to win the game. But we're not going to know anything. You won't know anything in the OTAs. You won't know anything in the minicamp. You might, you know what you want to know? Because, okay, the season's just around the corner. After probably the first preseason game, for sure after the second one. You know when they're going to go against the Chargers. And, you know, they're probably going to go practice out there.
Those joint sessions, too, are also great for getting intel.
Yes. And so then, because I think you very seldom go, okay, we're getting ready to play the Cardinals, and you're not showing your hand. It goes, oh, well, we still don't know who's starting. No, I think it needs to be, so I would say middle of August or something. That is, it's not going to be before that. Let them compete. You know, and they grade everything. You grade every practice, everything, you know, throws and just your leadership ability with the players. So all of that's going to come into play. But I think as far as competition, the OTAs we'll be watching is going to be more like I call it past skeleton because there's no rush. And, you know, 7-on-7. And I'd say the ball shouldn't hit the ground. And when you're doing 7-on-7, the quarterback should never scramble. When the hell are you scrambling for? There's no rush. The ball has to come out on time. That, see, all that kind of stuff they want to see, the ball's coming out on time. Are you accurate with the football? Are you going the right place? And, you know, sometimes, and then you take it for granted until you really realize not everybody's like that. When I said this story before, when we had the Greenbrier, and you watch two Hall of Famers, we practiced against the Patriots, and you see Drew Brees and Tom Brady. So they each had 20 reps, so 40 total. The ball touched the ground one time because the receiver dropped it. Like Tom Brady was 20 for 20, and Drew Brees was like 19 to 20, and the receiver dropped like a curl route or something. So it was like perfect. Now I say that's, and then when you watch other players, you know, do those drills, and you see they're holding the ball too long, they're not as accurate, and so that's in, but that's the difference, and you know, well, that's a Hall of Famer, and so where they at right now, I think Tyler Shuck. It looks like he's not behind Spencer Rattler. You know, they learning Kellen Moore's offense. But it's like Tyler Shuck, how he's with the players around him. It's like he's been here. You know, he's not like, hey, Rook, and, you know, you're over there. So, no, not what does that mean? I mean,
right now, nothing, right?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. But I still think if they can somehow click, and even if they click and I still don't see them winning more than six or, best case scenario, seven games.
But at least like someone like Shuck, you don't see him and look, oh, this guy's drowning already in the waters.
No, he's not like a little boy out there. He's a man. I mean, he's like, you know, it's not his first rodeo, even though this is his first NFL experience, that you could see he's prepared and he knows how to be a pro. And again, it goes back to the coaching with Jeff Brohm at Louisville. I'm telling you, you got a stud son or a nephew or somebody who could spin it. And you want to get NFL coaching and say you have that ability. Louisville is about as good a school to go to as there is. And I don't have no Louisville Cardinal connection. That's Jeff Duncan. You know, he's always bragging about the Louisville players.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. If you got anything you want to sound off on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line about Saints OTAs, got questions for the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break right now and be back with more of our Saints OTA talk right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on our special edition, a Saints OTA breakdown. We were heading out at the practice field today. They were indoors. Surprisingly, with the gorgeous weather out there, I thought for sure there'd be an outdoor practice today, Cajun Cannon, but no complaints at all that we were in the indoor facility.
Yeah, who hates air conditioning?
Right, I mean, exactly.
We play in air conditioning. Don't we play in the Superdome? I mean, you have to look at early. You can always, you know, we look at inclement weather as far as, you know, boy, it could be cold in Nashville. You know, we're not playing. It should be a nice fall day against Green Bay in Chicago. Considering where we're playing, who are we playing? Look in September, early on. Did we have it? Because, you know, it could be like Louisiana hot and Jacksonville or Tampa, like early September.
Well, September games on the road, we've got at Seattle, at Buffalo.
No, it's going to be awesome. Now, it could rain in Seattle. It could rain, but it's not going to be hot.
And then the Bears, that's October in Chicago.
That's a fall day. It's right. Football weather.
At the Rams in November, no, at the Panthers in November.
Angeles. Yeah, no, we're not dealing with any inclement weather, whether too hot or too cold.
And then, we're in Florida back-to-back weeks. The November 30th is at Miami and December 7th at Tampa.
So, no, it's not hot. I mean,
and then, like you mentioned, that one late game, 12-28 in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, that could be in the 30s, but that's still football weather. You know, as long as it's not raining. But Steve, I wanted to also
expanding more on the offensive line.
Yeah. That the reason why, okay, some fans might say, Penning looks like he was maybe getting it at times, you know, at right tackle. So why wouldn't you leave him there to continue to grow? Because I think right now, still at right tackle, he's not at the confidence level that you need to be. Come on, he's not Ryan Ramczyk or, you know, Teron Armstead. That's when we had awesome tackles. Where I think, depending on the opponent, we still would have to give him help in some games. You know, and what I mean by that help, like the tight end staying in and chipping before he releases, or the running back chipping and helping him before he goes out. You want a tackle to be able to, no matter who he's playing, he can get it done by himself. Well, the right or left tackle, the rusher, I don't need no help from the running back or the tight end. Where Trevor Penning, I still think a tackle, depending on the matchup, that he would need help. So that's why I think, and I've been blowing that horn 2 years ago, right?
About, no, for sure.
I said, put Trevor Penning at guard because he's aggressive, he's mean, and then he has a guy on his right side, he has a guy on his left tackle, and you have the center.
Now, you would think it's not that big of a difference of a switch for a offensive lineman, but how difficult is it to make that move from tackle to guard?
No, Jim Dombrowski did it. And no, if you could play tackle, you could play guard. Now, a guard and center cannot necessarily play tackle. But if you could play tackle, you could play guard.
You could move inside.
Now, and then you hear situations, more you could do, like some top lineman can play all five positions. But some tackles maybe couldn't play center because they can't snap the ball. And first things first, you have to snap the ball, and you got to be 100% consistent. You can't all of a sudden, the nose is tilting on you, and you're just throwing the ball back there, and you don't hit the quarterback's top hand. So, yeah, so tackle could play guard, but not necessarily guard or center play tackle, if that makes sense. Different body types, but the top tackles in the league, I guarantee, not unless they're just so tall that they just made for the tackle position, but most tackles – can play guard. The top tackles in the NFL could play guard in the NFL also, I think.
You mentioned, too, with the confidence with Penning and playing that guard position, I would imagine it helps knowing you've got, you know, to one side of you a tackle and the other side you got a center kind of help, some help around you.
Yes, you have a lot of trash, you know, to go through. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you're on an island, like speed rush, but you're out there and he rushes wide and he puts a move on you and all of a sudden he beats you, the snap of your fingers inside. And you ain't got no help. Now, you can help and leave the running back in, but then you can't put the running back out on the pass route. Or no, that's why you want the top tackles, the ones that you never talk about. Like, you just look at, like, when Teron Armstead was at his best, that you very seldom even mention their name. You're just following the football because they're always doing their job at the highest level. And they get paid a lot of money. The 49ers tackle.
Trent Williams.
Yeah, like that cat. I mean, I think he got rewarded, paid, because you're the best of the best. And so that's why I think we have an opportunity to go back to that winning formula, even with like Drew Brees, when we had one of the top five offensive lines, and a lot of that had to do, you know, with the center position. We've always had outstanding centers. We got McCoy. And then you could plug and play like those guards, but then you had the tackles, like Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk. You know, and that makes all the difference. Because if we could do that and solidify the offensive line and the quarterback knows what the hell they're doing, no, shame on them if they don't have success. Like I still think Alvin Kamara got something left in the tank. I'd be more worried about our possession receiver. Now, we have a few cats, but we have to wait and see what they're going to do, you know, as far as bigger receivers. Who's that... the one, like, oh, you know, I always like people with three names. DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Sounds like a band or something.
Or a law firm.
Yeah, a law firm, exactly. Good call, Steve. But here's 6'2", 205, five-year veteran from Michigan. I think I got some notes in there. I think he was outstanding. He really had it was like 2 or 3 years ago, outstanding year, with the Cleveland Browns. That's when really was when he put some skins on the wall and had, I want to say, like over 800 yards receiving. So, you know, who's going to be that guy? Chris Olave is what he is, Rashid Shaheed. And then you got Brandon Cooks. But I'm talking about that big possession receiver to go for those 50-50 balls. That's where I still think we're lacking offensively. And I'll be interested to see when they do compete in training camp. Like, you know when they do one-on-one and all that? Because this is an offensive drill. Our receivers against our cornerbacks. And that if our receivers, you know, see different routes, who's going to win in that? Because I think we could get better receiver and definitely get better cornerback because the lack of experience there. Like Alante Taylor, who's our top cornerback right now, at this time last year, what was he, 3 or 4? I mean, for sure, Paulson, Adebo, and then Lattimore was ahead of him.
Were your number one and two guys, right?
Yeah. So
back to that, you know, contested catch wide receiver. How about some of those, you know, undrafted guys that we know about in like a Bub Means was actually drafted.
Well, if he got stay healthy.
And also in Kevin Austin Jr.
Yeah, Kevin Austin Jr. He was a guy that always flashed in training camp, making catches. But, I mean, did he actually even get in a game last year? I'm trying to think. I don't know if we even heard his name, if he had any numbers.
I'm going to look it up real quick, his numbers from last season.
Yeah, because
I'm figuring he did, Bobby, because just of all the injuries the Saints dealt with.
Yeah, you know, look at Bub Means, 6'2", 215, when he played a couple of weeks, caught a couple of balls. He had good timing with Spencer Rattler, even, I want to say. So there's a lot of competition. Dante Pettis.
Austin Jr., by the way, 8 games, 11 catches, 151 yards.
Yeah, so they're all around that, you know, maybe they knock it on the door, but who's going to burst out?
Yeah.
It could, like, you look at Dante Pettis. He's like 6'1", right around 200 pounds. So they are bringing in bigger receivers, but not necessarily household names.
And a guy that Kellen Moore raved about during the celebrity golf tournament that the Saints ended up having was a veteran and Cedric Wilson Jr. that he mentioned as a good contested catch guy.
Yeah, well, again, you'd have to look at his numbers. He's 6'2", 200 pounds, but yeah. I mean,
they've had experience before together in Dallas.
Yeah, he's like he came over from Miami, from the Dolphins. He's an 8-year veteran. And then I always say sometimes a receiver within that's why with Brandon Cooks, even as Brandon Cooks has put up good numbers, why are you playing on so many different teams? Well, when they want to like keep you if you're really good, you know. And
but he's had a heck of a productive career.
No, you'll get 1,000 yards, right. And I don't know if you ever justify maybe that first round draft pick, because we were expecting more. I remember when we got him with Sean Payton. Getting more yards on like a jet sweep or a slant, but he's little too. He would catch the ball and fall down. Now he can run past you, but not necessarily, you know, that
run through you.
Big into like Michael Thomas, Marcus Colston type receivers. I think that's where we lack it, where you throw in that back shoulder and it's a 50-50 ball, and oh man, that was a great catch. Now we do that now and then, but whether it's Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave, none of them do that consistently. It's like, well, the quarterback hit him in the hands. That was a tough catch, but they didn't come down with it, you know. The defensive back was right there. Well, that's where you need those big, like Eric Martin, who I play with, those contested catch with Colston.
Right.
And Michael Thomas, before he got injured and before he got kind of an attitude, whatever. But, no, we don't have that guy. So, and that could be a quarterback's best friend. You know, when – you know the coverage is man-to-man, and my man's going to beat your man. Just not all the ball placement, you know, the back shoulder throws and all, and that's where that trust factor comes in.
Yeah, and hopefully someone like a Juwan Johnson, we keep waiting for that big breakout year. Maybe Kellen Moore can unlock something.
Well, Juwan Johnson needs to have a good season instead of a good month. You know, he'll flash, and he'll, boy, he had like 3 or 4 games. Unbelievable. Then he kind of disappears. Because they know the potential's there.
Yeah.
And because we never really asked him like to be a blocking tight end.
I know, like you, I was doing the same thing, raving to folks about him. Oh, you got to grab him in fantasy football. And then I got folks telling me, going, what's he doing? Nothing for me.
Yeah, he was like all mentor in, you know, training camp.
Right.
We're writing about him every day, making, you know, a handful of catches. Then he kind of disappeared. And then all of a sudden, he came back. You know, and then you see, like I said, have a good 3 or 4 games, a good month, and then disappear
Crickets.
Again.
Yeah.
But he decided to stay here. You know, they invested in him for the future. I'd be interested in how Foster Morrow comes back. I think that he played at a high level last year, considering what they were asking him to do. And then you got, like, in the tight end room, like I said, I don't know how would he develop. That was a nice play by Michael Jacobson, kind of a poor man, Jimmy Graham, you know, 6'7", 245, you know, pounds. He's still learning the game. I want to say, did he go to Daytona? Where did he go to school? No, he Iowa State. Yeah, I think so. I think we had another guy that went to Daytona or something that was a basketball player. So now ever since Jimmy Graham, you know, he got Antonio Gates, remember?
Right.
With the San Diego Chargers. And then you have Jimmy Graham. And then, can't really make it in the NBA. Maybe I could play in pro football.
Tony Gonzalez was a basketball player,
Cal,
too, right?
At Cal Berkeley.
Okay.
Yeah, at Cal. Yeah, and he's one of the greatest tight ends ever.
Right.
And then look what Jimmy Graham did. So, yeah, there's room for that. And So, and that's a big target, 6'7", like, you know, in that seam. But I think Jacob said a couple of times you might have had a couple of drops. Maybe last August, if I can remember, I said, oh, he has a chance to make the team, he's making plays, and then I think he might have been on the practice squad or something.
Well, you know, you started opening, Raven, that the quarterbacks were really slinging it today in 7-on-7, Spencer Rattler 8-for-8, and Tyler Shuck was 7-of-8. So, yeah, great day all around.
Yeah, that's you never want to see, and we're going to be witnessing those drills 7-on-7, that the ball's half of the time on the ground. Or no, it's no pass rush. You should complete 85-90%. Because the best pass coverage, you know, is pass rush. And so, no, if you see a player have 10 reps in 7-on-7 and he goes 5-for-10, that means when they have a rush, it'd be like 2-for-10 or something.
We're talking Saints organized team activities. They've wrapped up week one, the black and gold now. Got a long Memorial weekend break, and they'll be back on Tuesday. We'll have access once again a week from today. We're breaking down today's session, though. You can chime in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line here on WWL. It's 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you right after this. We'll be back with even more on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk, breaking down today's organized team activity session. Once again, these are voluntary workouts, Cajun Cannon. We didn't really get into today's attendance. I'll run through right now, but like I said, I wanted to preface going into this. They're voluntary workouts right now. I'm sure these guys have spoken with Coach Kellen Moore why they're not there. We know Alvin Kamara right now is in Africa.
In Africa? Jordan? Where is
Jordan,
that?
Africa, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Middle East is Jordan. I think he could be both. He might be going to Africa and the Middle East.
Okay,
who knows? He's jet-setting.
But for the workouts today, we know who weren't around. Taysom Hill, we know he's dealing with injury. Tyrann Mathieu wasn't there. Alvin Kamara, JT Gray.
Foster Morrow, huh?
DeMarco Jackson, DeMario Davis, Devon Godchow, Chase Young. Foster Morrow there, but just wasn't taking part in anything.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like Taysom Hill thing, I think Coach Moore had said. But we're not worried about DeMario Davis.
Tyrann Mathieu.
A lot of these other guys, they need the reps and all, but, you know, they need to come together as a team, but we still, you know, we just started OTAs. And, you know, looking at the competition at wide receiver, obviously, okay, you look at Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and now you bring in Brandon Cooks. Who's going to be that fourth guy in the competition? You know, depending, you know, they can contribute on special teams, you keep more receivers. You know, 4 or 5, whatever the number. You've seen even as much as 6 of the outstanding on special teams. But, like, Peoples-Jones, Donovan Peoples-Jones, I thought this was interesting. Now, in the COVID year, in 2020, he was a 6th-round pick out of Michigan. And he comes to the Saints after spending time with the Lions and the Browns. Now, he's played 5 seasons. This is going into his 6th season. Like I said, big receiver, 6'2", 205. No, he had right under 2,000 yards, catching 122 catches. He's 26 years of age, but his most productive year, and it wasn't that long ago, but it wasn't like last year, but 2022, if any of these receivers could put this kind of production, now, I'd say even in the 40s, but he had in 22, he had 61 catches for 839 yards for the Browns. So if you can have that kind of production, I know Kellen Moore is familiar with him and said a lot of potential there. So that'll be interesting, the contribution on the back end that can you be relied upon when you are targeted, like I said, to make those contested catches as a bigger receiver. And they'll have those opportunities come, training camp and in the preseason games.
You look at with Peoples-Jones, too, on, what was it, May 6th here, he tweeted out, as of today, he was officially 2 years sober from alcohol. Kind of strange to say, LOL, it's the truth.
Oh, okay. Well, then, you know, he's maturing and seeing the light. And
I thought, though, right away, I know it's horrible to think of, but it's a tough city to be in if you're a recovering alcoholic.
Well, yeah, but you could be in any city.
Oh, I know. New Orleans just makes it just easier, I feel like.
Oh, like, well, if you're out, they're not going to maybe kick you out. Depending on what area you are, they'll okay, we're closing down. Yeah, last call, you have to go.
Yeah, so no last call
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it might be like, oh, no. You got money? Well, we still open. So as far as the fans, who that nature, you look at the skilled people, I still think that right now, where we're at, and first of all, we got to get an offensive defensive line right. We got to be able to stop the run. But nothing to write home about right now as far as when you look where our secondary is at, especially the cornerback position.
Right.
And that wide receiver room. It's not intimidating. Like, for instance, like you look, okay, the Cowgirls, you look at Dallas. Oh, CeeDee Lamb. Look who they just got from the Steelers.
Pickens, right.
Yeah. Now, who wants those headaches? You know, who wants that headache with Pickens? You know, talk about a prima donna. So you just, I think we got good people, good team players.
You look out there right now, a big name everybody keeps talking about is a Keenan Allen. There's also like Amari Cooper. I'd be interested to see if the Saints go down that path at all, maybe come training camp.
Yeah, I don't know about Cooper. Like, but Keenan Allen
has experience with both, you know.
And a lot of catches.
You're right.
Now, what kind of money does he want? Now, that's a guy that could be trustworthy. You know, he's been there, done that, and have success. Not so much last year, but yeah, that's a veteran. But it's still early. It could be, you know, we don't like our wide receiver room in the training camp, or we got to get a little better. So that's a process, I think, that's going to be continuous.
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, that a guy like Bub Means can do something his sophomore season. We kind of talked a little about it's, you know, rookie year. Campaign got cut short due to injury. He was around during Super Bowl, came around doing the rounds on Radio Row. Good guy to talk to.
Big receiver.
You're definitely pulling for. Yeah, and a big guy that could be that, you know, that target, that, you know, bigger target you're looking for that can make that contested catch. But we'll say this a ton. It's all about being able to avoid that injury bug and stay healthy. But, man, that was the problem with this a bunch of players on the team this past season. Hopefully, overall, the Saints can just avoid getting plagued by just getting dinged up constantly. And that was, we saw that with the Saints and the Pelicans. So hopefully all that bad gree-gree is gone from these New Orleans franchises.
Well, but you know why you can't use that as an excuse? You know who was all banged up last year?
The Detroit Lions.
No, the Lions, the 49ers. The 49ers were like, what, they lost 8 of 9 in the end. Remember, they all beat up.
No. Yeah, no, we couldn't practice to get them in training camp.
There's no fan base that wants to hear that. You know, even though it's true, no, we're not
Crimea River, right.
We're not the same team. No, it doesn't matter. Oh, next man up. Who in the hell's the next man? It could be a huge drop-off. So, no, you have to have luck with injuries. You know, look at the Eagles. How you on a run, and all of a sudden you have 2 or 3 missing pieces. All of a sudden, let's say in the middle of the season, Saquon goes down. Or whatever, Jalen Hurts. You know, there's a bunch of, you got to have a combination of the team gelling and then luck with injuries, but that's part of football.
We're going to keep breaking down Saints organized team activities right now, though, taking a break. We'll be back with even more on your favorite WWL Saints Radio. Who dat? Well, the SEC tournament is in full swing in Hoover, Alabama. LSU, the 3 seed, and the Tigers will be taking on Texas A&M advance. You can hear that tomorrow right here on WWL pregame 6 o'clock. First pitch estimated 6:30. We'll keep you updated on that. Always keep up with the purple and gold on your home of LSU Sports, WWL AMFM.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app. We're getting ready to head to our top of the hour news. Next hour, we're going to lead off with some sound from today, and our sound bank head coach Kellen Moore talked to the media, delving into the topics of the quarterback competition, also what's going on with the offensive line, some of the injury update that he'll give you that we talked about with some of the guys like Taysom Hill not being around in action. So we'll have more of that OTA talk for you with the Cajun Cannon, breaks things down. And then also getting into some NBA talk in the 6 o'clock hour after a wild game in New York yesterday between the Pacers and the Knicks. Kurt Heelan, elite NBA writer, will join us on WWL at 6:40, 7:25. Joe Healy, national college baseball writer and SEC extra on D1Baseball.com, will delve into more of that baseball tournament going on in Hoover, Alabama. Right now, though, news time here on WWL. Stay tuned, folks, and we'll be right back with more Saints action here on WWL. Who dat?